Welcome to Pot of Gold. I am Fernando Ramirez. He is Mike Berardino. Together, we cover all things Notre Dame football for the South Bend Tribune and ND Insider. Don't forget to register at ndinsider.com. It's only $4.99 a month. That is less than Netflix, less than any of those streaming services, and even more entertaining than those streaming services. We thank you for joining us today. And before I get to Mike, we have another great guest planned with this podcast. Former Notre Dame graduate transfer and linebacker Adam Shibley will join the Pot of Gold. Awesome guest. We'll get into all those things. And he has a camp coming up on June 11th. St. Joseph High School, you won't want to miss it. But before we jump into that interview, don't forget to subscribe to all things Pot of Gold. We've had great guests. We've had the bus, Jerome Bettis. We've had the lucky lefty, Malik Zaire on. We've had a lot of great guests. So don't forget to subscribe. Apple, Spotify, anywhere you find your podcast, make sure you go like, subscribe, leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. We appreciate it. But now let's get to Adam Shibley, our special guest. Again, former Notre Dame graduate, transfer and linebacker. Thank you so much for joining the show.
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Fernando and Mike. Definitely a pleasure to be on this podcast with y'all.
Can you tell us a little bit about Tuff and kind of how you got started with that?
Yeah, definitely.
And that is TUFF for all the listeners out there.
Yeah. It was my sophomore year. I was at the University of Michigan, and I was really just looking for something more to do with my life. I felt like I was spending a lot of my time just, you know, on academics and football. And during that first summer going into my sophomore year, I was like, you know, I need to be doing something more. I feel like I can make a difference for, you know, people out there. And I prayed on it. And I just thought back to one of my teammates, Chase Winovich, who's on the Browns now. He was working with a foundation for quite some time and was able to raise a crazy amount of money, like $200,000 or something. So that sparked the idea, like, why not get into the nonprofit sector? Why not start my own thing? And, you know, I thought back to high school when I would be driving to St. Ignatius in Ohio City, and there would be kids lined up on the streets in the summertime, just fundraising for their upcoming football seasons. And that always stuck with me because I never had to do that being a kid from the suburbs. You know, I was kind of blessed with brand new equipment each year, didn't have to worry about pay to play fees. And, you know, I realized as a Division I athlete, I had quite a platform to make a difference for, you know, those kids on the streets and teams across the country that struggle to provide, you know, the right uniforms, the right equipment each season. So that's where the idea came from. And I was able to work through the idea for about 5 months in a program called Optimize. And at the end of that program, I received a $5,000 grant to launch my first donation back home in Cleveland. Yeah, so that's really the idea. And once that first donation happened back home, you know, the pictures came out and my teammates saw what I was doing and they all wanted to get involved. So quickly got Quiddy Pay of the Indianapolis Colts involved. And, you know, it really followed from there, getting Jess Spate, Joel Honigford, and some other guys.
Is it a prerequisite to have great hair? Because Chase Winovich has great hair. You seem to have good hair. Is that kind of a prerequisite to go? Because you were a grad transfer to Notre Dame. Is that a prerequisite to play at Michigan?
No, definitely not. There's some guys with horrible hair out there. That's funny.
What one of those hair challenge guys might be, I guess he would have been a couple of years ahead of you at St. Ignatius, Liam Eichenberg, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We love Liam. We don't want to crush him, but we're just talking hair. But is he part of things? Has he been helpful in this now that he's in the NFL with the Dolphins?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I just messaged him about our takeoff tour camp in Cleveland at St. Ignatius this summer, and he's going to be coming up to that if he's in town. So
cool.
That'll be the first way he's getting involved. And his brother Tommy's going to be one of the main people at that camp in Cleveland. So definitely getting the Eichenbergs involved, and hopefully we'll create something special together.
Absolutely. Now, let's not forget that we want to let the listeners here, because we have listeners all over the world, we hope, but right here in South Bend, there's something very special coming up that's going to be very heavily attended by your former Notre Dame teammates. Fill us in about what's happening on June 11th.
Yeah, so June 11th at St. Joseph High School, we're going to be throwing the the second ever tough football camp. And that's going to be directly with the Notre Dame football team. It's going to be completely player led. So we're not going through the university or the football program at all. This is through Tough. And the main goal is to bring access to all young student athletes. You know, we have a youth session for 4th through 8th graders, which will be 2 to 4 PM. And then a high school session for 9th through 12th graders, which will be 6 to 8 PM. And this camp is basically free. Families only have to donate $1 or more in order to sign up and continue with their registration. And that is because we feel there's a great barrier for a lot of families who can't really afford these $100, $70 camps to, you know, learn from the best and some of the players that, you know, have made it to that college level. But we're breaking that barrier and opening this up to everyone who wants to be involved. You know, the guys on the team, you know, we have Tyler Buckner, Cam Hart, Bo Bauer, Maris Leofau. Basically, any guy you can think of that's going to be out there on Saturdays is coming out to this event. They want to help. And every time we ask, like, would you want to be a counselor for this camp? It's a quick yes. So the willingness from the guys to, you know, serve the community has been incredible. We're really excited about it and, you know, just want to get the word out to as many people as possible. South Bend Orthopedics is sponsoring us, so we're blessed that they're covering some of our costs and we can offer this at a very low rate for everyone.
Those players are pretty good.
Yeah. Great guys too.
Yeah.
Adam, how long did you have to work on this? Because, by the way, happy graduation on right? Your master's in management now is that's the point of grad transfer. Not always the point of grad transfer, we've learned out there, but you were able to go ahead and get that additional degree. And that had to be a great day for you here recently.
Thank you.
How long have you been planning just this event here? How much preparation goes into it and scheduling with your former teammates, etc.? Do you have what's your staffing like at this point, or is this just labor of love pretty much that you're just cloning yourself?
So Notre Dame based, we have Connor Radigan, walk-on receiver who went to St. Joe's High School. He's doing a lot of the help for me. Working heavily on this project. We went and met with the AD over at St. Joe's and really got this thing up and running a couple months ago. The idea for the camp series started up, I would say, last December between me and the Tough team. Like I said, Jess Spate from Michigan, he just finished up there, playing 5 years as a defensive lineman. He is my secondhand man. Like, he's right there. He's our CFO right now, but might take this thing full time after graduation and going into next year. And then Joel Honigford and Jake Thaw from Michigan as well have been very helpful in all of our planning. But this camp series for the Notre Dame one, takeoff tour South Bend, will be me and Connor Radigan heading up the whole thing. And obviously we've had great help from our teammates getting involved to be counselors.
And is this something that you kind of, I mean, obviously you're going to do this camp on June 11th, but is it something that you want to expand later and try and make it bigger and bigger? And hopefully, I mean, more states and more different places that you could do this.
Definitely. I see a natural progression for, you know, all the things that we're doing. I don't know if you were able to see, we just had a donation in Oahu, Hawaii with,
oh yes, we saw that. We were jealous. We were jealous on that one.
It was great. We had two donations out there, and, you know, we started doing this in Cleveland and Detroit with, you know, just our own money that we were able to raise. And since then, we've been able to get really cool people involved that have, you know, even come to us now. We had two South Carolina Gamecock players reach out to us and say, can we throw a camp with you back in South Carolina? So we were like, sure, let's do it. Like, there's definitely an opportunity for that. So as we continue to grow and our awareness rises, I think there's so many possibilities for us to move across the nation and even the globe. We have someone who's doing a donation in our name in Trinidad this summer. Wow. We've donated soccer uniforms to a program in Liberia. So I'm really excited about all the possibilities and definitely see it happening. So
we're talking to Adam Shibley of former or grad student from Notre Dame and founder of Tough, T-U-F-F. And Adam, just going, what is it that, I mean, I've covered the NFL and I've been to those camps where it's $200 and then it's another 250, or it's like $100 for the camp and then another $50 to take a picture with the player and then another 75 for an autograph. Like, and I mean, go get your money, do whatever you need to do. But like, is this one of the reasons why this is so important, so that kids who don't have enough are able to experience that stuff too? And it's not just a certain amount of kids that who have the money and the ability to be in there, but it's also for the other kids who grew up wanting to, that don't have anything and want to be obviously in the NFL or whatever sport they want to dominate.
Most definitely. I mean, our mission at Tuff is to provide uniforms, equipment, and mentorship to underserved youth athletes. So that mentorship piece has become bigger and bigger as we continue to grow. So getting these players in front of the youth, that, you know, may not have the money to pay for a $100, $150 camp, that's going to be everything. You're going to learn directly from the players who have coaching from Coach Marcus Freeman and Tommy Reese, and, to be able to relay those messages and those concepts directly to young athletes for practically a dollar, $10, whatever it may be. I mean, that's priceless for these families, and I know the kids will have a great time. We're going to create a exciting atmosphere. And I know, it's just all about providing these services for a low cost so that everyone can be involved.
Adam, I was just curious about one of the things that all student athletes had to deal with is that they had an option to use their 2020 season, the COVID year, as an additional year of eligibility. And that would have applied to you as well, right? Even being a grad transfer, you could have, in theory. Was that, I realized this past year, fill us in directly, because I don't think we were fully informed. You got a good amount of time on special teams here, first half of the season, then there was an injury.
Yeah, I tore my labrum in the Virginia Tech game.
Yeah.
That was right before our bye week and everything. That led to my second surgery in under a year. So yeah. I think at that point, I know there's a lot of guys who can come back from that, but you know, 5 years is a long time. And I came in as a preferred walk-on to Michigan early on in my career and worked my way up to starting a couple games at linebacker there and coming to Notre Dame. You know, I got to play on the field for 6 games, which, you know, that meant everything to me. And I felt like I maximized most of my potential throughout my college career. And, you know, now I can dedicate more time to the foundation and continue to pursue other passions. I left it all on the field for the Irish, and I have no hangups. Like, I'm not worried about retiring now. I didn't feel like there was any great reason to come back. I know guys like Bo Bauer and Marist will be dominating at linebacker next season. So I'm excited to watch the guys, and I'm ready to see them fall out against Ohio State.
Speaking of guys with good hair.
Hey, Connor Radigan mentioned earlier that would have been Dr. Radigan doing the surgery.
Yeah, he did, actually.
There you go. Keep all then. So Connor has to come through here because you and your dad have already, his dad have already done business. He's as good as it gets.
Right.
You know, it should be pointed out, too. It strikes me that there might have been an interesting emotional component for you this past fall when you have so many friends at Michigan. You were a Michigan man, and that's an important thing too. I've seen your comments on the culture at Notre Dame, what you experienced, but you left Michigan at the same time, I suppose, timeline wise, I'm not sure, as Don Brown, the defensive coordinator. So they moved on. Was Don Brown leaving? Was that in the timeline any factor in your decision to move on as a grad transfer? And then what were your other possible landing spots besides Notre Dame, or were you already thinking ahead to your long-term career, the 40 years to come in the business world, the entrepreneurial world, the nonprofit world?
Yeah. So, Don Brown leaving didn't play a huge factor into why I left. I know he was a great coach for 4 years, gave me lots of opportunities. And, when he left, I knew that there was going to be a culture change on the defensive side of the ball, which was honestly somewhat exciting. And a lot of the guys were happy to, you know, see a new young guy like Mike McDonald coming in. So that didn't play into it. And I had always considered grad transferring because I loved the idea of, you know, getting to experience a new place and meeting new people, you know, being able to get two great degrees from great institutions. So in the back of my mind, I was applying to schools and looking at Vanderbilt, Duke, Notre Dame, and Michigan I applied to as well. So when it came down to it, I got a call from the admissions director at Mendoza's grad program. And, you know, once I got that call, it kind of just hit me like, you just got into Notre Dame. Like, how could you turn this down? And, you know, I immediately accepted and had the talk with Coach Harbaugh that I would be leaving. So it was kind of a no-brainer. Growing up a big Notre Dame fan and going to a Catholic high school like Ignatius, it kind of creates that want and desire to go play for the Irish and get a degree at the school. I know my dad was proud of me for going there, so could not have made a better decision. I'm so happy that I did, and I really feel like I got the best of both worlds from both schools.
So what is it about the Notre Dame experience that, like, I mean, you talk to people and they say that it's different, like seeing the jersey hanging up, the helmet, the golden helmet. I mean, what is it about the mystique of Notre Dame?
I think there's something to be said about, like, the faith involved. That was something that, you know, Michigan, we would pray before games, but you see the Basilica, you're on campus. It's like sacred ground, and prayer's a big thing at the Grotto. That really played into it for me, as well as the rich tradition is unlike any other school. Just seeing the walls when you walk to your workouts, you got guys like Manti Te'o, Brady Quinn, Chris Zorich, like all these dudes that you would just look up to as athletes and as men. It all plays into making Notre Dame what it is today.
I was just going to
follow up with that and say, you know, you said you grew up a Notre Dame fan in Cleveland, right? Who was the first Notre Dame player, former player, current player that you ever got to meet? And how old were you?
That's a good question. I mean, I grew up watching Dan Fox at Ignatius, and then he went on to Notre Dame. I never really met him, to be honest, but we connected with each other on LinkedIn. Outside of that, I would say I got to speak with Brady Quinn, like, in my first few weeks at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of crazy. Like, right. I'm pretty sure I had his picture hanging in my bedroom as a kid. Like, it's just kind of weird now that we're both adults, and it's awesome to, you know, finally meet your role models.
Well, I was going to follow up with that. Just, I was curious about that, because what happens on June 11th is just going to be a life, potentially life changing, certainly a great memory for young kids in the South Bend area or whoever's within a driving distance of this opportunity. And you guys are making it possible for them maybe to learn to throw a spiral from Tyler Buchner or learn how to, you know, throw a block properly or make a tackle properly or just a kind word or a small compliment. Is going those exchanges, you classify all that. Mentorship doesn't have to take an hour, right? It could be 5 seconds. And I just think that's something that I really hope our listeners get a chance to spread the word about this. You know, you're just getting started with this process, early stage of this process, but just June 11th coming up is an opportunity that it would be a real shame if people who have that day free, have children, have relatives, nieces, nephews, whatever, get them out there because they're going to be able to tell that story someday when they're on a podcast. Who was the first Notre Dame player you ever met and when was it? And what was the podcast you were listening to before you went out there? That's what we want them to say. But tell the folks again, while, you know, reset it for us, Adam, talking to Adam Shibley, former Notre Dame linebacker, master's degree holder now from Notre Dame, former Big Ten Medal of Honor winner, which is, we kind of buried the lead on that. That's a highly prestigious. Where do you keep it? Why can't we see it right now in the background?
But this is in my bedroom right now.
Okay.
Hopefully I'll be working with the Big Ten in August. So it might be my office there, but, nice.
What's that going to be? You have something lined up?
I have my final meeting with Commissioner Kevin Warren on June 1st. So it's a position in his office that would be a 2-year role and kind of a rotational gig. I would get to work in events, sports administration, marketing, and then probably travel a little bit with Commissioner Warren and be a direct point of contact for him.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. I wish you all the best with that. That sounds like a great next move. Jokes aside, when you were able to use NIL and that aspect of it, the positive philanthropic aspect of it to build your brand, right? This past year, you had started it, but then you were able to expand it. How will the good aspects of NIL, if we sort all this out properly, help Tuff perhaps be you would have maybe franchisees, as it were, within it? You could expand it to every campus that wanted to do so.
Yeah, it's been great. Now we're able to use like pictures of athletes in some of our marketing stuff, and like our camp flyer, we were able to get, you know, Mike Mayer, Foskey, and Buckner on there. Mm-hmm. Things like that just kind of create awareness, and guys are able to retweet it, post about it. It's been great. And we even have people wearing our t-shirts. We're about to drop like new merchandise lines so we could have guys be ambassadors for that. It's really opened a lot of doors, and you know, it's great to see my teammates making a lot of money and, you know, from other businesses, but to come work for a nonprofit and in ways where they don't really care about receiving much pay, that's what shows me what great guys these people are. And it's been awesome to see.
One more on that. Why was it important? Sorry, Fernando. Why was it important, or how does it play in that this is called a player-led camp and Notre Dame separate from it? Because obviously they have Notre Dame and all universities have their own summer recruiting element camps for youth, invitation. But what the player-led aspect of it, why is that important?
Well, I think if you were to go to like a Notre Dame football scouting camp, you know, there are some guys there who are getting paid to be there a little bit. They get a little stipend, and obviously their coaches are on the field with them. So you're not going to see their true personality as much coming out. But this player led environment will create just for, you know, the guys hanging out on a Sunday, and we'll be able to, you know, go out there and just be able to scream, enjoy ourselves, get the energy up, whatever it is. Guys will feel at home, and we're just going to create a really fun memory for a lot of these kids that are coming. And I think that's the biggest thing that stands out.
Adam, we spoke to Jerome Bettis a couple of weeks ago, and he told us that going back, I mean, he has businesses and everything, and he does a lot of stuff like that. But he said that going back to school really helped him see what the future of business is, and it kind of helped him to bring stuff to his businesses. Did you feel the same way getting your master's at Notre Dame, that you got to maybe experience some stuff that you didn't, maybe not putting Michigan down, but some stuff that maybe you didn't see getting your bachelor's that now you can use for Tuff and obviously maybe with this job with the commissioner of the Big Ten?
Most definitely. It started early on in my summer classes last June. We were taking a management course, and that immediately carried over into, you know, how I ran our meetings and talking to the guys who work for me. I was able to implement that stuff real quickly. And I took a digital marketing course with Tim Bowling this past semester. That's helped a lot with, you know, just how we're going to go about getting our brand out there and getting the foundation more recognition. So I would say this coursework was definitely a great addition for me. I was able to build a business acumen, and I majored in communications at Michigan, so definitely taking some of these quantitative courses and, you know, management and marketing, those have played a heavy role in my development as a businessman.
So when you look at the Notre Dame squad going into this season, what do you see from them, and kind of what do you think, you being a defensive player, how do you think this team is going to be under Marcus Freeman?
Oh, I think they're going to be great. And the sky's the limit, honestly. You saw a ton of people who had the option to go to the NFL this year and then decided to stay. And I think that says a lot about, you know, their thoughts for this season and the work that they're putting in. Those guys could have left and, you know, just trained for the league, but they wanted to come back for another offseason with Matt Bayless. So that's not an easy task. And I know he's getting the boys ready. It's going to be a great year and starting off in a big way. I'm loving seeing Coach Freeman go home to Ohio State for his first game. And can't even imagine how crazy that environment's going to be. So looking forward to it. I know the defense will be strong. Al Washington actually was one of my coaches at Michigan. So to see him come over, that's really exciting. And I know he's a high energy guy. So everyone in the building's got to be super excited.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any wariness initially. When did you arrive here being a Michigan man, walking into Notre Dame, Marcus, your new coordinator at the time, Ohio State man? Yeah. I don't even know the last time an active Michigan player transferred and ended up at Notre Dame, even if he had to wait out a year. I should know that bit of trivia. Yeah. Who was it?
I have no idea. Some people have told me I might be the first, but I doubt that.
It's just, for listeners, who are immersed in Notre Dame and Michigan lore, they probably know this, but, you know, Fernando's new to the area. I grew up in South Florida. I went to a Catholic school, but even I didn't know until I got up here in 2018. It was actually Michigan that came down at Notre Dame's invitation in the 1880s and taught Notre Dame students how to play football. It's just, you know, it's just another universe, but here, you know, wariness, the whole Big Ten, Notre Dame thing, all that. But there's some poetic aspect of this now that a Michigan man comes down in the 2020s, a century and a half later, and maybe teaches Notre Dame players a little something about something. But he also is taught something that he's going to carry forth in a philanthropic manner. And so certainly from the Mendoza School, I do think that it's I'm not good enough to make that full connection for us here in real time. I'm going to work on it. But don't you think, Adam, anytime Michigan and Notre Dame are in the same sentence, it's usually with some hostility.
Yeah.
And here, there's no hostility. It's just about possibility. That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's awesome. I never really thought about it from that lens, but the way you just said that was eloquent.
I'm going to stop now because I can't top that. Go ahead. Talk about Michigan, Notre Dame. And were you greeted warily before you were welcomed into the Brotherhood? What'd you have to do to earn your way into the Brotherhood as a Michigan man?
Honestly, there wasn't too much. From day one, guys were like coming up to my locker, introducing themselves.
Wow.
I had known Chris Velotta and Henry Cook from high school. So they kind of welcomed me in and quickly got to know the guys. There was no type of initiation or, like, you know, prove your worth to Notre Dame, but guys were very interested in hearing like my stories from Michigan and, hearing the similarities between the programs. So it was a quick transition. And, you know, I believe that I've made some lifelong friends at Notre Dame, and I'm excited to say that.
One more follow-up on that, and this is not eloquent, it's probably a little cliche, but I bet one of the questions was, man, you had to tell Harbaugh you were leaving? What is it like to disappoint Jim Harbaugh, or was he even disappointed? Was he happy for you? He seems so stern, but
happy is definitely not the word. I think maybe he had a little disappointment, so he kind of just gave me no emotion.
Yeah, shocking.
We had probably like a 2-minute phone call. I just called him up and let him know, like, I got accepted to Notre Dame and I wanted to pursue my degree in the Mendoza College. And he asked, like, what degree is it? So I told him it's a master's in management, but this is a purely an academic decision before an athletic. I don't even know if I'll be playing football there, because at that point I didn't know. And he's like, all right, okay, good luck. No, I said, thank you so much, Coach, for the opportunity to play here these past 4 years. They've meant everything to me. And he kind of just said, you're welcome. And that was it. We just left it at that. So
I had to be a little shocked, right? Harbaugh, because Michigan to Notre Dame, stuff doesn't happen.
Yeah. He jumped out of his khakis.
And at that point, I was still like working out with the team. So it was a bit of a surprise for sure. But there's no bad blood between us. I would still feel comfortable talking to him in person and everything. He's there for his players. So
I think it was good that you did it by phone, though, just in case. It should be, the listeners should know. I don't think any of us in the media got it out there properly that, you were pretty significant in 2020 on that whole Michigan situation. I went back at the Pro Football Focus and found you were on the field for 256 total snaps, 174 of them on base defense. They threw you in there at slot corner a little bit. So your athletics, don't sleep on the athletic ability at this camp. You can ask Adam about slot corner play. But a lot of special teams, 79 snaps on special teams in 19 and about seven, it said, in 2018. So, and then this past year, 101 total snaps on the field, all in the first half of the season before that labrum injury and surgery. And I could see why, a guy with your training and education and potential would say, all right, I've had my experience. But can you put into words for people, because Fernando asked about that whole locker room experience, which fascinates, but how about the idea of lining up on kickoff coverage at Notre Dame at a home game with everybody and all that noise and energy, and you're about to go down and cover that kick, which you got to do. What a rush that must be. And how do you manage that adrenaline?
Yeah, well, I think Notre Dame does a wonderful job of like building up that excitement with shipping up to Boston. And then you got the women singing, Here Come the Irish. So that really just gets you in the right mood to go down and hit someone. But it's very easy to get sidetracked in that moment. So you just got to stay focused, kind of, get your tunnel vision and put the blinders on that some horses would wear, and just know your job on the play, stay in your lane, and always know where to be on the field. So that excitement definitely helps you run down a little bit faster and hopefully make a play at the end of the whistle. So I loved every second of it. Wouldn't trade it for anything.
Well, thank you, Adam, for joining Pot of Gold. It's so great to hear everything. And as a kid that wasn't able to afford going to those camps, thank you so much for what you're doing, because I think it's awesome that you're doing this for these kids that are growing up and helping them get uniforms, helping them get being able to go to these camps. Cause that's important for a lot of kids. I mean, a lot of kids don't have role models or, and this is a way for them to gain role models. So I think that's definitely awesome what you're doing. Mike, can you tell us where we can find everything for Tough on social media?
Well, you want me? Well, I did jot it down. Adam gave it to us. It's you want to go to on Instagram or on Twitter at official TUFF _. Did I get that right, Adam?
Yeah, that's correct. At official Tough.
That is huge that you have the exact same. You have a simplified branding for us there.
Yep.
And then the website itself is
www.gettuff.org, GETTUFF.
All right. Can't say enough about what you've done so far. Excited to see what you're going to do going forward. And looking forward to that opportunity to work at the Big Ten for you. Really, really a pleasure to talk with you today. And June 11th, folks, make a point, spread the word. This is an opportunity of a lifetime for anybody who can get to St. Joe High School on the day of June 11th. You'll meet up to 30 or more Notre Dame players. Most importantly, you get a chance to ask Adam Shibley what it's like to disappoint Jim Harbaugh.
And signups can be made on the link in our bio on both Twitter and Instagram on Eventbrite. So you can search up Takeoff Tour South Bend on Eventbrite or access that through our social media.
By the way, is there a maximum that you can allow into the camp, Adam, or is it open? Like you'll take anybody can get in there.
Right now, we're going to take anybody that we can.
Okay.
Probably great. Cut it off around 500 people, but I don't know if we'll get up that high. So
yeah, well, let's hope you do. Let's hope you do, and you'll make it work. So thanks so much, Adam, and
thank you,
all
Adam.
The best to you.
Thank you, Mike and Fernando.
Mike, great interview. Adam was just, I mean, we told him, hey, 20 to 25 minutes, and we end up going about 40 with him. Just great stuff from him.
Yeah, a real interesting guy. We really hadn't had a chance to talk with him in his brief time at Notre Dame because he was kind of in the shadows. But as a special teamer, like you said, the first half of the year and then suffering another injury. But he's got big things ahead of him, no doubt. And I look forward to seeing what he's able to do when he gets over to the Big Ten, if he gets that opportunity. This is the kind of guy who's not just passing through. He's looking to make an impact as he goes through. And that came across in the interview. It was a pleasure to speak with him. And again, I do think that anybody who's in the area on June 11th and has any connection at all to kids between the 4th and 12th grades for a dollar, for $1 donation, hopefully more if you can afford it, to Tufts, you'll be able to have a couple of hours of interaction with Notre Dame, current Notre Dame players, player-led camp. It really sounds like a cool idea.
It's less than a hot dog and a drink at Costco. So, I mean, why wouldn't you bring your kids out to an event like this, especially because they're going to learn from so many guys. I don't know if people know this, but pass rusher Isaiah Foskey, I've heard he's being talked about as a potential mid-round, first-round draft pick. So that's another guy that could be up there. There's going to be some really good players that these guys can listen to or learn from. But, Mike, I go back to it again. When you go to Notre Dame and you're in the Mendoza School and athletes are, they just seem like they have a different mentality. And I'm not saying from any other player or players that are getting another or other degrees, but it just seems like those guys have so many different plans and they have, like, we've talked to many of them now. I mean, with Brandon last week and now with Adam, it seems like these guys have different mentalities and they really want to help the next generation, and they want to help students and they want to help athletes. It's just a great thing to see that these guys aren't only just focused on football, but they're focused on other stuff like that, like helping the community out.
No doubt. And hey, they're even focused on helping Pot of Gold continue its early momentum here. And we appreciate the generosity of their time. I mean, that's a huge gift of their time. They're busy putting this stuff out there, putting it together, making their plans to change the world. But no, I've been around this program now since 2018. And yes, that's one of the best aspects of covering Notre Dame football is that when we ask questions on just about any topic, we tend to get pretty insightful answers. And so I think that's what we experienced again here. And want the listeners to know, we will continue to line them up and ask the questions. If you have any suggestions who you want us to invite onto the show, leave that in the comment section, or when we tweet it out or put it on Facebook, happy to consider those. We have a long list, Fernando. We're constantly adding to it, no shortage, from past, present, and future, at the along Notre Dame football lines, and it's a pleasure to do this show with you.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, yeah, and like you said, like there's no shortage of guests that we could potentially go, just because Notre Dame has such a rich history of athletes, and even athletes that, like I said, are paying it forward, and former Notre Dame players are now trying to help current players with the NIL and help them help them with their worth and get some money on the side and stuff like that. So it's great to see players doing that. But another great guest, Mike. I mean, honestly, I feel like the listeners are learning, but I feel like at the same time we're learning as well about all this, because I mean, obviously I'm not a huge expert on NIL, but I'm learning more and more. I'm learning what these guys are trying to bring to the table, what they're trying to do. So it's honestly, I feel like I'm learning a lot from a lot of these guys.
What about me? Are you learning from me?
I learn from you when you ask questions, because I mean, I think it was last week somebody, was it Brandon that told you? No, it was Aiden. Aiden's like, oh, Mike, you came prepared. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, kind of took that as a shot a little bit, but I'm like, whoa, I came prepared too. I just, I'm not as insightful as Mike. I'm more like, boom, okay, this, bam. So, that was a high five for you.
That felt good. That was nice. I pride myself. I keep the notes there, as you see. That's why sometimes I'm not always ready to jump in there when you want me to, because I'm looking at my notes. I'm kind of cheating because I have done my voluminous research. I have no crack staff. It's all me. But it's amazing what you can find with the Google. It really is. And so and just stuff that pops. I love to connect the dots. So, yeah, no, that's, you know, that's Jerome Bettis was very kind about that. Aiden Sayal. And that's kind of the goal. I think if we both set that bar to ask these guys a question maybe they've never been asked before. You ask great questions. You ask those questions that make them stop in their tracks and say, wow. And so or for in my case, dredge up something that they'd forgotten they'd even done or was said.
By the way, you missed out on a huge opportunity. The bus was offering you a job. He said, I should hire you as an analytics guy. You should have taken him up on that offer.
Well, we're still in talks. It's very private. He's got multiple businesses, as you know, and he certainly is always in an acquisition mode of talent.
Yeah.
And vision, all the things that I bring to the table, but I really can't comment any further at this time.
There you go. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to another week of Pot of Gold. Mike, can you remind the listeners about ND Insider and the low price of ND Insider and everything that comes with it?
$4.99 a month, Fernando. $4.99 a month, you get everything. It's the South Bend Tribune through ndinsider.com. Also the USA Today Plus Sports Network that's out there. So much to choose from all around the country. Podcasts as well there. A national and regional basis. You know, we're part of the largest newspaper chain in history with Gannett. So we're proud to be part of that. Proud to be holding things down in our corner of the kingdom. But for $4.99 a month, it really is quite a value for anybody who loves to cover or follow sports these days, especially college sports.
Yeah, and don't forget, subscribe to the podcast, leave us comments, let us know how we're doing. Definitely, we have a lot of more great stuff planned, and we definitely appreciate you guys listening. I'm Fernando Ramirez. He's Mike Berardino, and for now, we're out.